sitting over here on Parchment Farm.
Hello, and welcome to the second in our series of Two Pats in a Pod podcasts. With myself, Patrick McCart Jr., and alongside me again tonight, Patrick McCart Sr. Pat, we didn't get a third person in just yet, but we're working on it.
We are. We have a couple of people in mind, and already a couple of people have indicated they'd be an interest in doing so.
Aye.
That's coming down the track.
Yeah, we've had a few people actually mention it, so that's good. And yeah, Hopefully we'll get a few interesting people on board. But getting straight back into it, the Doll's back tomorrow, Pat. Who do you reckon is going to be get the most votes for Taoiseach?
Well, obviously, the one who get the most votes for Taoiseach is Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin, because he's got 38, hasn't he? Sinn Féin.
Is there any chance of Mary Lou getting the...
She won't get the... Sure, 38 people are going to vote for Micheál Martin. I think, various other people might vote for Mary Lou, but they're still not going to be enough to get anybody over the line, because there's no agreement. There's all sorts of shadow boxing, and it's totally disingenuous and dishonest what's going on. Fine Gael, Leo Varadkar turning around saying it's up to Sinn Féin. Unless you're a complete moron, knows there is no way that Sinn Féin, without another of the big parties, can form a bloc to, it has to be one of the two. There has to be two big blocs coming in here. It's optics. It's all to make themselves look good. Because I'd say the long-term plan is somewhere down the track, they're going to say, well, we give Sinn Féin. So this is the smokescreen, camouflage for what they're going to do down the track. We give Sinn Féin the chance to put together a government, couldn't do it. And in the national interest, we have stepped in, which is the usual old one about for people doing what they want to do. If Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael both say they will not negotiate with Sinn Féin, they're basically saying, look, go ahead and do it, but we know you can't do it. But it's all, it's this sort of delusional, that people are going to fall for this. Nobody's falling for it. Everybody can see it. But the two big parties will work together and they say to save us all.
Speaking of, I've seen this earlier, and I know, we probably touched on this outside of the podcast, but I seen this comment earlier on Reddit, the social media site, and I thought it summed it up very well. And I'm just going to read it back for you and just see what you think. So this is the comment. I don't think people necessarily like being told that the way they voted is wrong and that choosing an alternative is similar to going along with the Brexit Trump type of thing. Also, there has been a complete and utter failure from FFFGE to outline how they will do better in response to the election result. Instead of saying, we can do better, they've just resorted to playing games and saying, am I out of touch? No, it's the kids, the voters, who are wrong.
Absolutely. I think that's coming across to everyone. I thought an unbelievable comment was made by one of the more capable Fianna Fáil guys, Jim O'Callaghan. I've mentioned it struck me as such a ridiculous comment. He said on the RT News one night, if you vote for Sinn Féin, you're voting for Venezuela type politics, and you're going, is he for real? To be against rent that are costing $2,000 a month, to have almost 900,000 to 1 million people on various waiting lists, no, that is not Venezuelan politics. Most people in Ireland are saying that is very reasonable politics. The homeless crisis is getting worse. The young people can't get mortgages. Most people, there are more people today in their 20s and 30s living back with their mothers and fathers than there were, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. And for this, you don't judge how well a society's doing by the economy. It's by how the people are doing. And the corporate profits might be up and the tax take might be up, but the people on the ground aren't feeling it.
Well, playing devil's advocate, there's a lot of first-time Sinn Féin TDs. You've already seen, I suppose, a couple of incidents where, you had your man Cullinan there, which, to be fair, I think it was a fair, blown out of proportion. Same with the Black and Tans song.
Yeah, ridiculous things and stupid things, but they are not headline. This is like somebody saying up the rah. I got a tenner for every time I've heard that, and from even Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael supporters with a few jars in them. That's ridiculous. You shouldn't have said it. Nobody's saying you shouldn't have said it. And it is without question something they shouldn't have done. But I think I watched the Claire Byrne show on last Monday night, and again, there's always a group of people. Without question, every current affairs program on RT now has a specially invited guest with an agenda to bash Sinn Féin. And that's not, you know, you're not a Sinn Féin supporter when you can point that out, because Yvonne Marie McCahill, Paul Williams, and every week it's the same agenda, the same thing. Now, no one, you can't turn around and say there's anything, you know, that those things, but it's a political agenda, without question, a political agenda. And like, it's starting to run a bit, you know, I think everybody's seen through it. And that's why I think so many people voted Sinn Féin this time, because it's, the agenda is so blatant and so clear at this stage.
Well, and there definitely is, you know, I was going to say an undercurrent, but it's not an undercurrent. It's been very apparent, this sort of attitude of, you know, the voters here have got it badly wrong. And, you know, how dare they reject another, you know, centre-right
government. If you think this... And seeing people from the left are going, we saved the country and all the rest of it. What they mean is they saved big business and they saved all the rest of it. When you consider the fact that 42% of our bank debt has got, Ireland picked up the tab. Ireland, about 2% of the population of Europe, has picked up the tab for that. The Children's Hospital in Dublin. The rural broadband scheme. These are the people who keep telling us they're so economically literate and the rest of the country is illiterate and all the rest. There's an arrogance there that I think most people are now rejecting and saying, look, wait a minute, there has to be a balance here somewhere. And the balance is seriously out of kilter. The bosses and are doing extremely well. And the vulture funds and the banks and everybody else. But you talk to the ordinary workers, the people who are sitting with their insurance costs way up, their health insurance way up, their car insurance way up, their wages stagnant. And no matter what anybody says, there's still that whole sort of economy where people are sort of like zero-hour contracts, we'll call you when we need you type thing.
You know, one of the things I noticed, you know, I seen today that you... You had on your column in Pat's Patch that you heard the Joe Duffy, I think he's had a couple of sessions where he's been talking to people and getting their views on the election. And you referenced about a couple of the older ladies that had sort of switched their allegiances from Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil to Sinn Féin. And he had on a couple of people and they all seemed to sort of say the same thing. And that was, you know, and there were people from, you know, various parts of the country. But the common theme was Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael done nothing for us.
No,
you know, they've done nothing for
you. By the way, I'm not, you can't turn around and have a bash at Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil non-stop. But I think what's hitting this election has hit so many people is the arrogance of both, and that's what the reaction to. Like, Leo Varadkar, I think has been a very competent Taoiseach. And Simon Coveney, I would say, did a brilliant job on Brexit.
And I think Varadkar, to be fair, can be... You know, it can be a wee bit unfairly maligned at times.
It's just too easy, actually.
You know, he gives off an aura of being distant.
The posh boy.
And in some cases, because, you know, he's from a background, an immigrant background.
The fact that he's gay.
You know, I have seen that. Now, to be fair, I think it's a very small minority, but I have seen it. And I do think it's unfair. And you're right. You know, you can't always continuously bash them when there are things that they've done right. I mean, Brexit, I know we've talked about that before.
There's an arrogance in Fine Gael, and I think this whole thing is an exercise in cynicism. There's almost a sneer about when they start talking about the Sinn Féin leftist thing. But I think there's a serious arrogance in Fianna Fáil that's unbelievable. When you consider the fact that Charlie Haughey was up to his eyeballs in corruption, Neil Blaney and various other ministers were involved in importing arms into this country. The incompetence of the Fianna Fáil government that led to the recession and so on, and it could keep going, and various other... Taoiseach without a bank account. Another Taoiseach seemingly going on air drunk in the morning. There's an arrogance there. We won't talk to someone else. And when you consider the fact that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil both come out of the troubles, and both Fine Gael emerged from the Michael Collins faction of the IRA, and Fianna Fáil the De Valera faction of the IRA, and then the arrogance to turn around and say, look, no one is saying everybody's got clean hands here, but you know, I think if we're talking about the future, the people who that cohort of people who voted for Sinn Féin are everybody as entitled to have their votes and all the rest. I think the reaction, that's come out of the whole election that has really caught a lot of people is the absolute arrogance of the two big parties. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if they're chastising people. How dare you?
Mm. But again, going back to that point of playing devil's advocate, right? There's the whole element of there's still some element of the IRA Army Council that possibly they've long since left violence behind. I think anyone involved in the Army Council, there might be boys out in the bandit country in South Armagh, smuggling diesel and getting involved in criminality or whatever. But I mean, those guys have no control over the Army Council from, I think, what everybody would admit. Yeah. And there might be boys that are still involved. Putting that aside, do you think as well as that there's going to be an issue with inexperienced Sinn Féin TDs, potentially if they've somehow managed to be part of a government? You could have people who don't have a clue what they're doing.
Well, no, I don't buy that one, because very simple. Remember when after, was it 18 years of Tory government, Tony Blair came into Parliament and with a whole host of new TDs, and guys, a lot of them were, only maybe in the door back then, but his government hit the ground running. Well, Sinn Féin have experienced TDs, and Mary Lou McDonald, Piers Doherty, Padraig McLaughlin, you can David Coulton up the round, all things considered.
He's supposed to be a very capable operator.
Louise O'Reilly can keep going. There's plenty of people there.
Owen O'Brien
is probably the expert on housing in Ireland. So, and the other ones, they can fuse them in with the rest of the talent. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's like a good experienced team, soccer team or Gaelic team.
And I suppose
you always bring in a couple of new guys and with the experience, it's sort of let them get the experience. And sometimes the new people actually bring new ideas, fresh ideas.
And the overwhelming consensus, seems to be people want change. They want a government of change.
Yeah.
And that was the thing, going back to that comparison with Labour, was it 97, was it, when Tony Blair came in? That was a government of change.
Absolutely.
And it didn't do the UK any harm.
No, it went the exact opposite. They had growth for about 10, 15 years and so on. And who brought the Northern Ireland peace process over the line?
Mm-hmm.
It changes what's necessary to reflect. But as well as that, there's a guy, I can't remember his name, I was listening to him, Edelman PR, they did a massive survey. And it was on the RT 1 o'clock program on Sunday last. And he made several very, very good points, one of which was the fact that most people were concerned about the total inequality in society, that the rich seem to be getting richer, the better off are getting better off, and at the other end, the poor are getting poorer, and there's less rights, less equality in society, and people are looking for a fairer society, and that's what's starting to happen.
It's obviously been the main reason, I think, is the... a lot of people will look at the country and say there's a lot of things that have gone right, and it's been good for a lot of people. Mm. The recovery that's happened over the last 10 years, but, it's the old cliche. A lot of people have been left behind.
I think more people have been left behind than it was anticipated. I think Fine Gael went in thinking that everything's great, and they didn't. But, remember the one about, we have a lot done this sort of the last time. A lot of people this time are turning around saying, wait a minute, there's been so many left behind. And, this whole thing that everything's great, Rosie in the Garden, we have a great story to tell. They haven't such a great story to tell as it was reflected in the election results. So I think a lot of people in the back, the people in the back offices and the big parties, I better start doing a whole analysis now. The only thing I think will happen, I think Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil will get together with Fianna Fáil as the main party, and possibly the Greens will come in. What will happen is they will concentrate on the social agenda for the next 5 years, and at bad states they'll change policy, possibly in housing and homelessness. They will bring in some sort of SAR to run the health service to try and get the waiting lists down. There'll be a couple of hospitals coming on stream. They'll change the mortgage rules to make it easier to borrow money, and they'll also try and some sort of balanced regional development. And all those will, and so they'll try and cut the ground from under the leftist
parties.
Hit them off at the pass. So by the time the next election comes around, so look, we've solved these problems.
Yeah, I mean, there's a strategy there laid out for them, isn't there? That they'd have to be fools not to follow.
Yeah.
Just try and do a bit more for the less well off and the less advantageous society.
Yeah.
But one of the things I was going to ask as well is, do you think if Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil go into government together, are they going into government together with Martin and Radcliffe as leaders? There's no chance of either of them, you know, falling victim to party politics.
Well, that's a massive. Well, put it like this: there's if Micheál Martin doesn't become Taoiseach this time, he's gone. Aye. That's a cert.
Yeah.
Radcliffe can probably write out this time around, because in his own party, I'd say a lot of people are saying, what did we do wrong? We did. We were very competent. We got the things turned around. We did Brexit and all the rest of it. It was the out of touch bit. I think to repeat ad infinitum, there's an arrogance there that I think they see others as populist, but we are so sensible.
Mm.
What they didn't realize is the people are not being populist when things are not going so great.
No, absolutely. And do you think any of this is going to have any effect, I suppose, in politics with our friends in the north? You've seen, obviously, the rise of Sinn Féin in the south. You've seen the SDLP pony up with Fianna Fáil over the last while. But, one of the things I noticed was there was a survey in the newsletter there a couple of days ago. I don't know if you've seen that. Where it seems, no, I think it was the newsletter, so possibly you could.
They might have a certain bias.
The slant on it. But there was still, according to the newsletter, there was still a fair chunk of those surveyed who wanted to remain part of the UK.
Yeah.
Do you think, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, are they going to put the Republican agenda in terms of the North maybe a wee bit to the fore now? Again, will they tap into that Sinn Féin momentum?
Not as long as Micheál Martin. I think Micheál Martin has shifted Fianna Fáil almost to the right of Fine Gael when it comes to Northern Ireland. His constant attacks on basically the Republican movement has alienated a lot of nationalists. This constant use or reference to something that happened 30 years ago when he was attacking Sinn Féin, when absolutely no mention of the atrocities suffered by the nationalist community. Now, he can say they're not going to come into government in the South, but that's not the point. A lot of nationalists, there was a war on. Things happened then. There were the only players on the stage were not just Sinn Féin. There was all sorts of... So that there's all that sort of stuff. Plus the fact that I think... the SDLP are on the rise in certain places. Certainly, the Colm Meastwood's vote in Derry was huge. Mm-hmm. And Claire Hanna was almost a shoe-in from the start in Belfast. So it's the SDLP in the last elections. But I think Sinn Féin in the north, the fact that there had been no Stormont for almost 3 years, then there was things going on in Derry where the Sinn Féin have almost become... seriously unpopular. There's a fair degree of nepotism. There's allegations of corruption. Now, I'm not quite sure what the corruption clearly is, but there's a feeling that they're also incompetent, which is a lot of that's just stuff you hear on the ground with very little evidence to back it up. But if that's what it's been said on the street, the party needs to clear up whatever damage. Now, one thing is certain, they control nearly every community sector and every community group. And, I'm not sure that's a good thing. And I know a lot of people resent the fact you can hardly get a job in a school without being a pro Sinn Féin person.
Nobody likes a monopoly.
No, and that sort of nepotism is not playing well. It's never played well in Ireland. Well,
funny, whenever I was working in Derry last, there was a fellow I was working with, and his district would have been Foyle, and he said to me, he said, no, Colm Meastwood will win it. The Shinners won't get in. And I said, why you say that? He says, because they're not doing anything for you unless you're
one of theirs.
Yeah. So obviously there's that's one anecdotal.
It's not actually. I heard the same many occasions from very different sources. I remember very well talking to a well respected guy that I know and is well known in Derry, and he told me that he had voted Sinn Féin for years, almost for about 20 years, and that he was certainly not voting for him in this election. Now, he didn't say whether he was voting for the SDLP after he admit that, but he told me that he was fed up with the nepotism and he made a whole lot of other comments about Sinn Féin. And I was amazed at that, because a couple of years ago, I would have known him as a rabid Sinn Féiner.
Mm. Well, Pat, we've just had 20 minutes. I think that's the sweet spot, isn't it?
That's about it.
So until next time, I think we'll next time we're going to try and get somebody else in here, because I don't think anybody wants to hear us two ramble
There's a couple of people, so we'll definitely. But we need two to get up and running, and from here on, and we'll look for someone else.
Absolutely, absolutely. Until next time, thanks very much for listening.
Bye.